verse 10, put on the new. And in verse 12 is where we begin today. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Although this convicts us, it's talking about putting off the old that we struggle with. It's so difficult. Putting on the new, which we feel like we don't do a very good job of, comes so short. Yet, this ought to give us some consolation, because if there were not a struggle, that means there's no new man in there at all. There's this struggle, this warfare that goes on in every believer when the Lord creates this new man, this new creature in Christ. That's when it began. It wasn't there before. The old man, before the Lord gives this new life, there was no struggle at all with sin and so forth. The scriptures in Ephesians 4 is a companion chapter along with Colossians 3. It sounds just like it. And he says that old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's all he is, corrupt, wretched. That's what Paul said in Romans 7, didn't he? Oh, wretched man that I am. Well, he didn't think that before, until the Lord came and revealed himself to him. He didn't think he was wretched then. So this struggle, though it gives us great grief, yet it should give us some consolation to know that if there were no struggle, there's no new man there. And know this for your comfort too. Every single child of God wrestles with every single temptation and sin that you do. You don't think that, do you? You look at various ones and think, they can't think the thoughts I think. They don't struggle with what I struggle with. Oh, yes, they do, starting with me. So that's where I come. If Paul said that, I see a law warring in my members. If the Apostle Paul said that, the things that I would, I do not. The things that I would not, that's what I do. That gives me some hope, if Paul said that. If he struggles like that, how much more do I struggle? Well, no more. No more. But this putting off of the old man is not putting him away. You can't get rid of him. We won't get rid of him till the day he's put in the grave. He's going to be with us till the day that we die. We can't... And it's not changing him. You can't change him. You can't change him. He can't be changed. The old man can't be put away or can't be changed. But he can be denied. That's what this putting off means, putting down, but not in our own strength. I always quote Martin Luther's hymn because I love it so much. He said, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Do you ask who that may be? Well, Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath is His name. From age to age the same. He must win the battle. Christ said, without me you can do nothing. Without my spirit you can do nothing. That's why it says pray without ceasing. We struggle without ceasing. Except those times we're under the sound of the gospel. So he says, pray without ceasing. Without me you can do nothing. But, Brother John, he does say, with Christ, we can do all things. Put off. He may not be put away, but he may be put off. He may be put off. Romans 6, I was going to have you turn, but don't do that. Romans 6 says, don't yield. Over and over again, don't yield. He says, you've yielded yourself before. You just yielded yourself before as an unbeliever. Just yielded to it and ran after it. He said, don't yield now. How? Lord, don't let me yield. You know, we cannot resist one temptation. Can't do it. Christ could not be tempted, really. He was tempted by a point. I don't understand that. But yet there was nothing in him to tempt. But he knows our frame. It's enough for us to know that he experienced everything we'll experience, yet without sin. But in us, there's so much to be tempted. There's so much to succumb to that. And we cannot resist one temptation in our own strength. Not one. We'll fall to every temptation. The woman in the garden, the man in the garden, they didn't have any sin. One temptation came along, didn't it? One. What does that tell us? We're weaker than they are, aren't we? So that's why it says pray without ceasing. How do you put off the old man, though? How do you do this? Somehow or another, don't answer when he calls. Don't answer. Put him off. You ever been put off by someone? Call and call and they won't answer you? Huh? After a while, well, it depends on how bad you want it. Our adversary is not going to go away, but temporarily. The Lord rebuked thee. That's what Peter wrote. He said, whom resist in faith. Resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him in the faith. How? Well, even Gabriel, was it Gabriel or Michael? Michael, the archangel, said to him, the Lord rebuked him. The Lord rebuked him. Put off. Don't answer. Don't listen to his lies. He's a liar. The old man's a liar. He's deceitful. He's lying to you. This looks good. It's not good. It's not good. Whatever he entices, don't listen to him. Don't feed on it. Don't feed him. Don't feed him. The old, what's the old saying? Robin, you nurses, what's true? You feed a cold and starve a fever, or starve a cold, feed a fever? What's this? I don't know. But I know this is true. Starve the old man, feed the new. I know that's true. Starve the old man, don't feed him what he feeds on. What's that? Flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the lust of the world. Don't feed him. John talks about that when lust, the eyes, and when it's conceived, brings forth sin, and sin death. Even the result, it snowballed. Don't feed him. Don't feed him. And here's the key, I believe. The best way to put him off, deny him, is put on the new man. Feed the new man. Put on the new man. What you're doing right now is feeding the new man. Don't do this. That old man's going to be stronger. The less you feed the new, the stronger the old gets. So what we're doing right now is feeding, hopefully, prayerfully, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we feed on His Word is what strengthens us. His Spirit, His Holy Spirit is who strengthens us. Feed, nurture, instruct, encourage, build up the new man, the new man. And what do we feed on? Christ. Christ. He is our strength. All that He is, all that He says. Put on the new. Put on the new. We don't make ourselves new. No, no, no. We don't make ourselves new. We're His workmanship. We don't make ourselves new any more than we can get rid of the old. We can't. It won't happen. But there are these means of grace that the Lord has given us. Peter wrote this. He said, He's given unto us many exceeding precious promises whereby we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Exceeding great promises. Our Lord said in John, I wrote it down somewhere. Oh, John 13. He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you do, you know these things. I know these things. Well, happy are you if you do them. If you do them. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. We follow that old man, we're going to get in deep trouble. But the new, our Lord Jesus Christ, that new man in Him, His ways, the Scripture says, are pleasant paths. Pleasant paths. All right, look at, here's how we put on the new. Verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. As the elect of God. He said in Ephesians, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, and offering a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. It says in Ephesians 4, let all wrath and bitterness and wrath and anger, that sounds just like Colossians, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Remember He said that. Now put off this malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's the key. We can't do it in our own strength, but looking to Him. This is our Lord, isn't it? Kind. He's the elect of God. And behold, mine elect. Isaiah 42 said, my servant, mine elect. The elect, as the elect of God, dear children, holy and beloved, set apart, loved by God. This is how you know. This is how all men shall know you're my disciple. You do what I did. You be like I am. Kindness. Be kind one to another. Tender hearted. Love is kind. Scripture said. Listen to this. Romans 12. Romans 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You remember that? Love is brethren. Love is brethren. In honor, preferring one another. How do you prefer someone else? How do you esteem someone else better than yourself? That's what we're supposed to do, huh? It's only one way. Is if you disesteem yourself. If we think the only way we will look down on our brother is if we think too highly of ourselves. This is why the Scriptures make so much of sin, and it's to humble us. We need humbling. This whole life is a lesson from our Lord in humility. It says there, in humbleness of mind, kindness and humbleness of mind. That shouldn't be hard. You know, it shouldn't be hard for us to think low thoughts of ourselves. Shouldn't be hard at all. We forget ourselves. When we get to thinking too highly of ourselves and low thoughts of others, it's because we've looked in the mirror and went away and forgot what manner of man we were. We've forgotten the pit from which we were digged. We've forgotten where the Lord found us. We forgot the mercy He had on us the night before or this morning. We forgot all that wretchedness that went through. He had mercy on us and delivered us temporarily, and so we're. Humility of mind, that shouldn't be hard. And I'll tell you how. Put on humility of mind. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer humbles us. We start calling on God, we'll start remembering how dependent we are. Repentance humbles us. Reading God's Word will humble us. Because it doesn't say anything good about us. It says a lot of good to us. A lot of good news to us, but it doesn't say anything good about us. The Word of God convicts us, reproves us, rebukes us, exhorts us, admonishes us. comforts us, consoles us. But if we're really reading the Word of God, not as information, but asking the Lord to teach us by His Holy Spirit, He convinces of sin, righteousness, judgment, reproof, rebukes, like I said. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, chastens us. Like little children, that's what we need all the time. We need the encouragement, yes. But you parent with young children. You think you're correcting them more than you are comforting them, aren't you? You think you're telling them what not to do more than you are telling them what to do. Why? Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And so is it with us. We're His little children. And John Cheesley, you said, even at 73, it's still there. Isn't it? So the cutoff point, getting higher, John. He's still struggling. We're still His little children. Still need these things. We read the Word, and it humbles us. Humility of mind. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that humbles one. We look at how He loved. We look at how merciful He was. How forgiving He was. How gracious He was. How He loved like a brother. Oh, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, I want to be one like that. Well, I come so far short. Well, that's humility of mind. Lord, help me. Be like You. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Meekness is another word for submission to God's will. Submission to God's will. Our Lord said, take My yoke upon you. That's the yoke of service. And learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And He said, you'll find rest for your soul. There is rest for your soul in submitting to the will of God. In everything, by prayer and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever it is, it's God's will. Submit to it. Bow to it. There's rest there. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing it. I don't know what your will is for me, but I know thy will be done. We have men that pray that all the time. Lord, not our will, but thy will. That's what Christ said, didn't He? When we get in troubles, when we want what we will, that's when we start getting in trouble. Meekness, a submission. Christ Himself learned obedience. How? By the things that He suffered. And so must we. In everything. Take My yoke. Long suffering. Meekness. Long suffering. Love suffereth long. Peter said this. I love this. Peter said, take this into account. Remember this. The long suffering of the Lord is salvation. The Lord said, John, how long must I suffer with you? He said to His disciples. He kept putting up with them, putting up with them, putting up with them. Like Israel of old, provoked him. How long did he suffer with them? 40 years. His long suffering is my salvation. The Lord is long suffering, and I'm so thankful. Aren't you? He says, be ye holy as I'm holy. That means be long suffering. Do it. You be long suffering with your brother. I'll be long-suffering with you. You forgive your brother their trespasses, I'll forgive you yours. If you don't, I won't. With the merciful, He'll show Himself merciful. With the forward, He'll show Himself forward. We do ourselves a favor when we show mercy to others. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Oh my. Forbearing. Look at this, verse 13. Forbearing one another. You know what that... Go to Proverbs. Oh, where do we go? Many of them. Proverbs 10. Forbearing. Proverbs chapter 10. You know what the word forbear means? Cover. It means to cover. That's what forbear meant. Cover. Forbearing. Covering over. Love covereth. Oh my. There's another proverb. I didn't write it down, but it says it is the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. It's the glory of a man to cover it over. It reveals real love. Love, verse 10, or 12 of Proverbs 10. Look at it. Verse, hatred stirreth up strife, uncovers, exposes. Love covereth. Covers what? All sins. Oh my. I'm so thankful our Lord, His perfect love, cast out my fear of my sins, exposing me. Love covereth. Love covereth. It's the glory of a man to cover. Our Lord, when He stood before the law, stood before God, stood before Satan, our accuser, open not His mouth. He could have exposed us all. But He didn't say a word. Oh my. He died with our secrets. Died with them. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Go over there. That's here. I did write it down. This is great. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man, the wisdom of a man, the prudence of a man deferreth his anger. Oh, the Lord's slow to anger, isn't it? It's His glory to pass over a transgression. That's what love does. Covers. You know all about your children, don't you? You know pretty much all about them. They went years thinking, Dad doesn't know this, Mom doesn't know. Oh, yes, they do. You think they... My. As a teenager, I used to think, my parents, they sure are slow. They know my soul. They were one themselves. They know exactly. You came from them. They know exactly what you've done, what you're doing, but they just forgotten it. It's covering. Love doesn't tell others. It covers. Love doesn't rejoice in it. Love doesn't want it to be found out. Love wants to cover it. Cover it. So another Proverbs 17 says this, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter, why is he doing that? In some effort to build himself up, he has to tear others down. That's what hatred does. Tear down others makes us look better, we think. But in fact, it's the opposite. It's the glory of a man to pass over. It's the love to cover it. Love cover it. Forbearing. And I dwelled on that because, well, I love it. And I need it. The Lord's forbearance. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Now listen, folks. I need to listen too. We don't really forgive anybody if we don't forget it. You know that? We don't. We don't forgive them if we don't forget it. In other words, if we bring it up later on. I remember, and you didn't forgive me. You're still harboring that in the back of your head. You're still thinking about that. I'm so thankful that our Lord said, their iniquity is gone. I won't bring it up again. Our hearts and mind, we can't forget it. We can't, you know, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Modern wisdom and psychology and religion says you need to forgive yourself. That's what they say. The answer to all your guilt and all that is just forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Oh, no, we don't need to do that. No. We need to ask Him for forgiveness. And we get it. His conviction is good. But toward one another, we need to forget it. I mean, forget it. Drop it. As I said, that's what parents do. I bring up things to them all the time. In other words, I bring to their remembrance how they used to spank me and so forth. My dad, to this day, claims he never spanked me. He does. He says, I didn't whip you. Sammy, he used to take a cat of 9 tails. I thought it was. Didn't you? His belts. Boy, you'd get thrown in jail today, wouldn't you? Reach for your belts. He did. What a cruel man. No, what a loving man. A loving man. What a foolish child. What a rebellious child. What a little hellion I was. He didn't give me half of what I needed. Not half. He didn't deal with me according to my sins. Neither does our Lord. But thank God he got the belt out. You did. You did. I honestly. Mom didn't. Mom was too kind. No, but he did. They did. They did. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens too. He chastens. But they forget it. You see, that was the point. They don't even remember it. They don't remember it. Because they've forgiven it. They've forgiven it. I know. What's our motive? What will enable us to do this as Christ forgave you? Now, He's not through forgiving us. He's not through forgiving us. We may go through the worst. We may have not yet committed the worst sin. Know that? His mercy, thank the Lord, His mercy endureth forever. We're going to need it till the day we die. We're going to need it. And bless God, we have it. Why do you think, the scriptures are not redundant? They're wonderful. There's one psalm that says, I think 26 times, every single verse, His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. To the average person, that's redundant. That's why does it keep saying that? One man told one of our sisters, a father of one of our sisters, he said, I read the Psalms and it's boring. I read the Psalms and it's glorious. And I read that over and over again, His mercy endureth forever. And I think, yes, say it again. I said it 150 times. How many more you need? One more time. His mercy endureth forever. He remembers His covenant. He won't forget it. As Christ forgave you, if anybody have a quarrel against any, verse 13, you got a quarrel against anybody, a complaint? You got a complaint against anybody? James said, in many things we all offend everybody, every one of us. If you're a son of Adam, everything in you is offensive. In many things we all offend. You know, if anybody got a quarrel against any, you know why our Lord said, if your brother offends you, go and tell him? Because if you do, your brother, most of things are misunderstanding. Most things are lack of communication. Or a false witness by somebody else. We need to hear our brother's side. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it is not wise. There's two sides. And before you condemn, convict, and cut him off, you better hear his side. Wouldn't you want to say? So our Lord said, you go to them and you talk to them. It could be you're wrong. Could be you're the one who's wrong. But if he is, and he's your brother, I know what he's going to do. I know what he's going to do. He's going to say, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Didn't mean it. Please forgive me. I didn't realize. That's what he's going to say. She's going to say. Yes, sir. So you go to them. That's what our Lord said. You go and tell them. But you forgive them no matter what. You got a quarrel, no matter what it is, a quarrel against them. Our Lord, any complaints? Does our Lord have any complaints against us? Huh? I just read the letters to the churches in Revelation again. And nearly every single one, Ty, he said, I have somewhat against you. Nearly every single one. He commended them. But then he said, I have something against you now. Turn from this. Repent. The Lord got anything against us? Oh my. So as Christ forgave us, so also do you. Above all, verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond, the unifying principle, what unites us, a perfectness maturity. Maturity. Above all, love is the key to all of these things. Love is the key. If love is there, malice won't be. He began by saying, put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice. If love is there, malice won't be. It can't be. Premeditated to do someone harm, to gossip on somebody and talk about something. If love is there, it can't be. Malice and love can't coexist. It can't do it. Love is the key. If love is there, if love is in the heart, hatred can't be. If love is in the heart, bitterness won't rise up. And I remind us all what the Scripture says, he that loveth not like this, doesn't know God. Doesn't know God. Love his brethren. He said, love like you love yourself. Remember that? Love like you love yourself. Every man loves himself. Yes, he does. Well, love your brother. Do unto him, our Lord said, as you'd have done unto you. We need forgiveness. He does too. And it's the bond of maturity. It's what unites us. It's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He forgives. No malice toward us. No bitterness toward us. No anger. Slow to anger. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. It's the bond of maturity. What unites us, and it's also what proves that we're growing in grace to the measure of the stature of Christ. I love my daughter now. I loved my daughter as a child, and I love her even more now. And I forgave her everything. I forgot everything. I was reasonably patient with her as a young parent. Reasonably, not always. I regret. I'd like to do it all over again. In fact, I'd like to turn my whole life back and start over again. Not to say that I would do any better with it, but I would. I'd like to do it all over again. But especially as a parent, a friend, a pastor, all those things, I would. But now that I am a little older, and I now have two more daughters. And, you know, when you think of grandparents, you think they're just easy. You just think they're just over easy or whatever. No, I'll tell you what it is. It's growth in maturity. That's what it is. You've grown older and wiser, hopefully. Your love, I did not think I could love another child like I love Hannah Marie. I did not think it's possible. But I do. I love those two granddaughters so much, it hurts. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm more patient with them than I was with Hannah. It's not being easy. It's growth. It's maturity is what it is. That's exactly what it is. I realize now, And it's not too late. I finally realized that there's some things just not worth it. I realize now things not worth living for. Things not worth fighting over. Things not worth quarreling over. Things not worth being miserable over. Time is short. The vanity of things, and how precious. Did you read the article by Brother Crabtree in last week, in the bulletin a couple weeks ago? A child. How precious. Time goes by so quick. I don't want those little ones to grow up, but they're going to. Too fast. Too fast. And they're going to be gone. Or I'm going to be gone. Time is short. And these relationships, it's short. Brother Charles, do you miss him? Would you like to have him back just another one more service? Why? What would you tell him? Would you like to have Ellen back one more time? Just one day? What would you tell her? Time is short. Next service might be one of us missing. That's a fact. I'm realizing that now. All this stuff, you know, the young man going after this, going after that. There's nothing worth going after. Like this. One thing needful. These relationships are worth sacrificing yourself for. Yeah, they are. Mary, we've already lived our lives pretty much. Yeah, we have. There's nothing, we don't need anything, don't need to accomplish anything. It's all over. But boy, we've got some souls entrusted to our care, don't we? We've got some brethren that have need. We've got a blessed fellowship, precious, precious fellowship that needs nurturing and that we're highly privileged and honored to be a part of. Oh my Lord. It's the bond of maturity. Love is the bond of maturity. That proves that you're growing like Christ. But bitterness and wrath and anger and quarreling, that's carnal. That's what Paul said. That's carnal. Are you not carnal? Yeah. Grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. The Lord bless that.